This is the July 14 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. He's out of Morton, Illinois. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting from Atchison, Kansas. And Rich Nelson joins us as our special guest from Allendale out of McHenry, Illinois. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Let's begin our questions, as usual, with the list of items we should discuss for the day. Thanks much for being with us, Bill Mayer. What's on your list?
Well, I think I'll go with the question I've probably been asked the most here over the last 10 days or so, and that is, how do you approach a sensible, common-sense marketing plan when you have this kind of volatility that we've got right now, and you see these fluctuations in my gross revenue per acre of hundreds of dollars sometimes in a couple of days? I think that's a question I've gotten a lot here.
Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing?
Yeah, well, I would second that. Also, weather. That's going to be the determining factor of how hot does it stay and for how long. And that could mean a dollar higher or a dollar lower in both corn and beans in short order. So it's all about the weather. More so than the last couple of years, it seems it's coming at the wrong time. So it's all about the weather. And like Bill said, you got to have a plan to handle that volatility.
Mike Zuzulo from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting.
Only thing I could add to that, Todd, is the post-report sentiment by the investment funds, especially when it comes to the USDA data and what was a surprise to the fund community most likely, and how they're likely to play this market from here on out.
And finally, Rich Nelson of Allendale.
I'd actually like to mention here about the issues with corn and soybean yield, whether the hot temps the next few days, which one will be impacted the most, and more important for us, whether markets will be actually interested in corn on any phase of this rally if it does continue here.
Let's start, Mike Zuzulo, with you. And we'll get the post-report sentiment out of the way. USDA, of course, releasing its monthly world agricultural supply and demand estimates earlier this week. How did the trade take it?
Well, I think the trade was most surprised, Todd, by the fact that the USDA increased demand across the board in the row crops, and they were most surprised also by, even though U.S. ending stocks for wheat going up on a terrifically big 51.3 bushel yield, the global ending stocks actually dropped. I think probably the biggest issue that the trade's going to have to face in the investment fund community is, this, along with this increased demand, USDA continued to take down 15-16 corn carryover. And so December of last year, we were at a 1.785 carryover. By April of this year, we had gained 4.3% on ending stocks to 1.86 billion bushels. Now, as of the July report this week, we're down to 1.7 billion. So we've gone below where we were last December, and we've essentially taken 8.5% off the crop since April. In the 7 months that covers, we've ranged 240 million bushels. And I think the July corn especially saw a very strong move up. And I think it was mostly investment fund short covering and unwinding of long bean short corn. And I think the end users came in here too. And I don't think this story's over with, is what I'm getting at, as far as the investment funds being maybe wrong footed at this point because of these USDA numbers.
Yeah, so explain that to me a bit more. Why are they wrong footed again?
Well, I think they've been long beans and short corn, and they've been right, month after month after month. Well, this month, it seemed like the feed grains finally got the most bullish numbers between the world wheat number and the U.S. corn carryover, both old crop and new crop. And, when you look at the world numbers, world wheat stocks to use are back to last year's levels. corn, global corn stocks to use levels are almost 1% below last year's level. And now beans are indeed 2% below, over 2% below last year's levels. But the trades, the investment funds in the trade has been on that train for quite some time. So this is where I think the feed grains gain a little bit more traction.
And I take it this is mostly a wheat-driven initiative as opposed to corn, or not?
No, I think this is how I look at it when it's all said and done, especially after Thursday's close. I think a week from now, we'll know whether there's actually a corn and bean weather market going on or not. It's either going to be hot and dry or it's not, and it's either going to be hurting the yields in corn and beans or it's not. And if it is not, and we don't have a weather market, we need that wheat low in place to support these markets.
Rich Nelson, you mentioned that we need to talk about the impact of hot temperatures on yields. Have you been looking at this, and do you have some idea from your research what it might be?
You know, we actually have been digging into this issue quite a bit here these past few days. Now, in terms of our calculations, I calculate the percent of corn that has yet to pollinate. Past July 19th, so ending in this deferred time frame here, Iowa, 49% of the crop is still left to pollinate by that point. Illinois, of course, so we're going to be very active with pollination, only 36% left. Nebraska, 70% left of the for the crop here. So one thing I will kind of keep in mind here is I fully respect the fact that we're going to go through pollination this year with really no major hiccups here yet, and the majority of crop will be fine. However, there is still quite a bit of a wild card issue waiting for us here. Like I mentioned, number three state, Nebraska, 70% has yet to pollinate and won't by the time we get into the heat. Indiana, 72% of the crop has yet to pollinate here. So I still think there's some chances for upside movement if we can get a consistent forecast. But as of right now, still a lot of questions for us here.
Chip Nellinger, as he mentioned, pollination for Nebraska out west and some of those places, Kansas, I suppose, too, lagging the rest of the Corn Belt. Nebraska is the number three producing corn state in the nation. Rich happened to mention that along the way as well. Weather is an important part of the volatility in the marketplace. Does heat out west drive the market?
I think it does, and I think today's action kind of indicates that maybe the market is actually getting this right a little bit. You had a big reversal lower in beans, and I think that was driven mostly because in the far extended 11 to 15 day forecast, which hasn't been super reliable this year, it shows that heat breaking back down. So if August goes back to normal temperatures with decent rain, we could still make a big bean crop. Whereas corn was a little better supported. Some of that may have been some spread unwinding, like Mike was talking about. But I think a lot of it is it's still going to be blistering hot in Kansas, Nebraska, and South Dakota, 105 to 112 degree highs. And you know, Rich just mentioned there's a lot of corn left to pollinate. Not only pollination, but we saw in 2010 a hot August really can take yield off from a grain fill perspective. And so there is still some risk out there. But this forecast, we've seen big flip-flops even from a Friday to a Monday a couple times. People are a little reluctant to put much faith, especially in that extended forecast. And that's what's leading to some of these big volatile swings that we're seeing. But absolutely, I think in the short run, that heat, there's still a lot of corn at risk. If it's a two-day deal, I tell you, I've put a lot of windshield miles in here from basically Des Moines, north of Cedar Rapids, almost to Waterloo, Indianapolis. This crop looks phenomenal for where it's on the calendar, but it's not in the bin yet. So, you know, the makings are there if Mother Nature cooperates for a monstrously big corn yield, in my opinion.
Bill Mayer, I take it that producers are frustrated with the volatility in the market, that they're used to a market driving higher or lower, depending on what's happening in the marketplace, and then turning around fairly quickly. But the volatility this year, which has offered more than one opportunity to sell at higher prices, seems to have them frustrated. How do they manage this volatility in their marketing plans?
Well, first of all, let me follow up on just what Rich said there. We had our 10-state conference call that we have every 2 weeks this morning, and I think that confirms some of what Rich was saying as far as the corn crop goes. Everybody's really feeling pretty good about the crop right now, with the exception of northwestern Ohio, southeastern Michigan, that area, some of northern Indiana, and the southeastern Iowa got an area there that has had some rains recently, but is still behind, and, you know, this heat would probably hurt them more than some other areas. So, you know, I think this volatility in myself is going to continue because I don't think we're really going to know. We've gotten to this point in the growing season, and we are in good shape, but we all know, as Rich said, that the August weather can certainly have an effect on it. I believe that it's part of it is the perception that the trade has. When we hit our lows there at 350 or thereabouts on December corn a week or so ago, I think you heard a lot of talk in the trade about 172, 175 national yields, that type of thing. I think that trade had some pretty high expectations. And if you take along with what Mike said and reduce the carry out in this year's crop, which I believe will continue to happen, I think exports are still not quite high enough on corn. So you reduce this year's carry out, which carries over into next year, and you're also maybe reducing some of the perception of where the crop is. I think that's what drives the market, along with the fact that heat always does drive the market. How do you deal with it? Well, I think you, from a producer standpoint, you have to try to control what you can control. You can't control the weather. As Mike says, if we get down the road a ways, we'll know more whether we have a weather situation or not, but we could just be in the midst of the situation at that point, too. I think that one thing that you can control to at least some potential is, you know, where you're at from a profitability standpoint. And you can look at your crop, you know, you can walk your fields, you can get some ideas on where you're at yield-wise, and you know, that may have changed for the better from when you originally put your marketing plan together, and maybe the price targets that you're using to get X number of dollars per acre are different now than they were originally back there in the wintertime. So I think that's one thing that you can do. I think, of course, the other thing that you can do is maybe you have to bite the bullet sometimes, and you have to maybe buy some options positions to protect your sales when you make them, and maybe even, for example, buying out-of-the-money calls so that you can make sales whenever the price does rally, if it rallies, or using a rally to get puts on that type of thing, I think are some things that you can do to approach the market here.
Bill, what do you think carryout at the end of this year will be? We were down 7 million bushels. We're at 1.701 for old crop corn.
Well, I think I guess I'm kind of in that 1.5 to 1.6 area. I think the Brazilian crop being shorter that they told us there a week or so ago, I think that increases. I think our exports stay pretty strong here the rest of the summer. You know, I may be optimistic there, but I think that it'll be less than 1.7, let's put it that way. I mean, will that be enough to offset probably what's going to be a very big crop, as Rich was saying?
Yeah, so Mike, are you in that same boat, Mike? Are you going to drop this another 150 million bushel?
I don't know if I'll go that low, but I'm in the same mindset as Bill, where the U.S., I think, is going to gain more and more market share as long as the dollar remains in a sideways trend. I mean, Strategy's Grains just came out this week after the USDA report, and between their wheat production and their corn production, they essentially cut the production for wheat and corn by 285 million bushels versus USDA's forecast this week, Todd. So again, I think the perception, like Bill is saying, the perception is unfortunately everything and is reality. But fortunately, the perception is changing now that the prices have gone low enough in feed grains to attract demand, and you don't have a lot of competing supplies out there until South America gets wound up again.
What does your work tell you, Rich Nelson?
Actually, I think the export discussion is probably almost as important as the questions we have regarding yields right now and weather. You know, on this export issue for corn, we're so far ahead of the pace need to hit USDA's goal. We can fall back down to equal with the five-year average from here on out, from here through August, and we'll meet USDA's goal. And of course, we know from recent sales, aside from the two previous weeks, we've been knocking this pace out of the park. So I certainly think you can easily have a discussion point of maybe a 100 million bushel increase eventually here in the coming 2 or 3 months. So on this one, I can make a case for saying great exports, and maybe part of that will be offset with some feed use issues. So we're probably in the lower 1.6 range by the end of the year for old crop and maybe bringing new crop down to about 2.1 here.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a lot to add there. I don't disagree with that. I think maybe the biggest question, as Rich said, is the feed usage part of it. There's a big crop of wheat, and there may be some substitution. So feed usage on corn may be a little bit questionable. But if it's 1.6, if it's 1.7, I mean, I'm not an agronomist, and I haven't walked any fields, so this is purely a windshield tour. But I just don't know in a lot of areas of the Corn Belt how it could be much better right now. I know it's not in the bins, far from a made crop. But my point is, if this thing is a monstrous crop, it's quickly going to overshadow another 100 million off old crop stocks. And, you know, I think an important thing, too, is it's a different situation. And I might be reading it wrong. I don't disagree that maybe the funds have, a better, a more bullish, friendly, long-term aspect on grains, corn, beans, wheat. But they're fickle and they can change on a dime too. Here's the difference that I worry about. The last 2 years, the farmers have been able to hold corn off the market. Generally, they've sold their beans, they've held their corn. It's helped put a floor under us. And last winter, the funds were already short. And so there was no one left to sell the market. Well, it's a different scenario now. And based on talking to people, our phones ringing, talking to some different elevators, I still really feel there's half of old crop corn left unpriced, very little new crop corn sold. Bankers, if we get into a big crop situation and the market starts drifting lower, bankers generally this year, I feel, are going to dictate more that producers sell. If it's at a time where the trends turn lower and the funds want to exit a long position in corn and get and build a net short, that's my, I guess, disaster scenario. And I could write a tale that could easily happen with a monstrously big crop. That's my biggest worry. And I think that overshadows even a 100, 150 million bushel cut to old crop carryout at this point.
I think all four of you are telling me the same tale, but maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. And this is the one that Daryl Good has talked about for, well, since January, maybe even before that, that there would be opportunities in the June, July. At that time in January, he was talking about April and May, but it got pushed back some for there to be rallies in the marketplace, that there probably was a good reason to make some sales during those rallies, and that opportunities would continue to come. Does everybody agree that if we have another opportunity, producers really ought to try to take advantage of it, as long as, because we're far enough certainly into the season now, they know they've got some crop, probably more than a little crop, even if things turn dry. Mike Zuzlo?
Yes, I feel that way. I continue to feel that way. I think it's neat to see that in the 83 and in the 2011 and the 2012 markets, the December corn futures really petered out quickly as you got to mid to late August in all three of those years. And 2010 was an exception. It went into September. But I think that's the model you use at this point, Todd, especially if we don't get the rains next week, that you play it as long as you can into the 1st of August. But as you get towards that August report, you start to turn from a friendly the price to let's get back in our hedges. I personally like the bought puts because I think that makes sense to the elevators in terms of not knowing what your yields are going to be, especially in those areas that are going through late pollination, as Rich was talking about. And I think it makes sense to the bankers that you have a known cost floor underneath you. I've said it before to you. I'll say it again. You know, we've talked about this all year long. This is one of those years where we won't care about 2017 or 2018 if we don't get 2016 right. And I think we need to remind ourselves about that.
Hey, Rich, I want to talk about soybeans just a bit more. Why so much volatility in the soybean market? Is it just that we have a short crop coming out of South America and that the marketplace, when it builds in and takes out premium, it seems to be doubling up on its volatility?
I think so here. And in fact, you can certainly make a case where, especially the comments regarding feed grains, corn, wheat, that that you're going to have a very ample, a very adequate supply here at a minimum for the world numbers here. And you can certainly can't quite make that exact case for beans. So I can certainly see why this bean market is so resistant in having a serious break. As an example here, you got world soybean stocks, just using USDA's numbers, I believe we're down to 61.8, last year 72.2. So I think we certainly have fundamentally changed a lot in the soybean market, not too much on the corn. And of course, we're all hyped up right now where any type of weather issue, if it is sustained, can certainly have quite an exaggerated effect on what could be an exciting time. On the other hand, of course, you can make plenty of arguments saying, hey, if it doesn't happen right now, it's not going to happen.
What other research have you been looking at?
A lot of things we're looking at here in terms of issues on the soybean crop. And I mentioned before about this corn versus soybean yield issue here is whether soybeans would rather react or would rather have or have more of an impact on the yield end with heat or dryness. You know, in this case, we have adequate soil moisture leading up into this quote-unquote heat wave. So in this case, we have seen less of a price response and less of a yield response in those cases than if you have just dryness, for instance. So it's quite a bit of an interesting issue where on the bean end, at least, you can, from my work at least, it would suggest that moisture is more of an issue. Whereas on the corn end, I can probably make an equal case suggesting both heat as well as dryness here.
Where do we go from here in the marketplace, Bill Mayer? What happens next week?
I would just point out, I think that agronomically, the moisture is more important. But from a trader standpoint, I mean, if you look at historically, heat is what gets the market excited. And we saw a case of that again this week here. Next week, I think if we actually get into the situation that the forecast is projecting here, where you're looking at, you know, 100 to 110 degree temperatures in some of the Western Belt, 95 to 105 in some of the areas all the way up into South Dakota and that, I think if we actually see that come to fruition, we can continue to see some volatility in this market and give us the opportunity, especially in the corn side of it, that maybe get some of those sales made or those puts bought, as Mike's talking about. I think you know, what I had said earlier, I think you need to be realistic about where your price targets are now and take into consideration that your crop is, or the overall crop is probably bigger than maybe what we had expected going into the season. But be realistic and have some goals there and have some orders in, because this thing does move around pretty fast. So I guess I see, Todd, the volatility continuing for several weeks. I don't think that we can say the market's over at this point. I think we put in a pretty solid support level down there in that 350 December futures standpoint. We may go test that again. But I guess I feel like a target area is back up in that $3.90 to $4 area on the December futures from the standpoint of getting some additional bushels covered.
Right. Okay. And Mike Zuzulo, what are you telling your clients particularly?
I think the thing that I'll tell them after this week is I'm not going to worry too much about the close in beans this week. But if we close below 1025 in November beans a week from today or a week from Friday, that would concern me that the weather market could be over with and that the beans could be back in terms of trying to pull down the rest of the complex. But I think this is where I felt like before July 4th, we should be able to get to 385 to 395 and Dees corn at least one more time. I'm sticking with that for right now, Todd.
Is everybody of a mind that when you look out across, and I think I've heard this from each of you, most of the Corn Belt, there are a couple of places, but for most of the Corn Belt, right now, for both corn and soybeans, we have a good crop moving through the season.
Yeah, I think there's a few spots, as you said. I think we have to keep, again, I want to go back to the perspective, though. I mean, the USDA has got 168 bushel yield plugged in, and as I said, I believe the trade has a higher perception than that, really, of what they're looking at, and they realize that the number probably wasn't going to get changed on until the August report. But, you know, we are looking at 168. We've had 2 years that we've raised that or above, the last 2 years, granted. But, you know, we are at the high end of the yield spectrum right now as far as what the trade is looking at, I believe. So I think we have to understand that some of that's in the market there already, I believe. So a lot of the weather premium was taken out of the market when we took our drop down.
I think we got the potential for certainly a record corn yield. And, you know, we've said for a couple of years, boy, if everything just goes right, if we get the crop in the ground in good shape, if we don't get too hot, if we get good rain, if we pollinate it all right, we got the makings for, you know, monster, blow a record yield out of the water by 6, 8, 10 bushels. I think that we're set up for that now. Is the heat going to cooperate and not last very long? We're going to get some more rain. We're going to need some more rain to finish it out. But, you know, back to your original question, I think it's important for producers to put themselves a week out and say, and I don't disagree with Mike, 385 and 395, but what do you do then? Because we're going to be coming into a weekend that's hot. We've had major pattern changes over weekends 3 times in the last month and a half. What do you do with that? Because if you wait and it's a 3-day, 4-day weather event and the ridge breaks down, it gets 82 and rains everywhere, it may be our last chance for a while. So, you know, Bill mentioned earlier, maybe that's making sales and attaching calls. Maybe that's buying puts. I don't think doing nothing is a very good plan a week out, especially if we bounce and there's uncertainty with the weather.
Am I right that all of you are feeling better about the marketplace despite the fact the weight of the big crop would have at this point that you, and I guess maybe, and Bill, you explained it best, that the trade was up at 175 and maybe we're really a 170 or 168 crop, and so that the worst, at least, may be behind us at this point?
Yeah, I don't know that I want to go that far, because once we actually know where we're at and we get into where we're trying to handle that crop, you know, in 14 when we had the big crop, we pretty much bottomed right there during that October period. So I think that's part of your marketing goal, is to not be forced into making sales, you know, in the midst of a time when you don't want to be making the sales.
Let's get some final words from each of you. I think I'll start with you, Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough week or 10 days ahead of us from a marketing perspective. So have a plan. Think about it right now so that next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're not at the whim of guessing the weather, because nobody can do that. Even forecasters with the highest technology and weather models haven't done very good this year doing that. So have a plan. I am really concerned about the potential for still a big crop pushing us, I guess, overshooting to the downside because we have so much old crop corn left. I guess I would say have a plan. Cover your downside, but have some upside, whether that's calls against sales or puts on unpriced inventory, so that if the market does go up and the weather gets disastrously hot for an extended period of time, you've got upside potential. But if the high pressure ridge breaks down and we head lower back to $2 or back to $3 for a harvest low, you're covered. So don't guess on the weather, and don't put your farm at risk betting on hot weather.
Mike Zuzulo from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting.
I'd say all the technicians out there, take a look at the monthly wheat, monthly cattle, and monthly feeder charts. They're all suggesting long-term lows on extremely oversold conditions. So be on the lookout for that between now and September. Otherwise, if you get into another move up and you fill those gaps in the November beans, get into some puts, both in corn and beans, as you get prepared for August, because we can go up on dry weather, but we're going to need USDA to take yield down to sustain this rally into past September. So use that 83 marketing year as your model.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing.
I go back to the plan as was discussed before, and the first step in that, I think, is to realistically assess where you are today. Where is your yield? Where did that fit in with the sales that you've already made? What does your crop insurance do for you? Keep in mind that if it's higher than the spring price, as we're probably looking at on soybeans, our guarantees change. Where does the ARC program come into that? Make sure you realistically know where you're at and what the you know, the plan that you've got and your sales targets and that all fit together and where it can get you, because I think that's the first step in being able to make a good decision.
And Rich Nelson from Allendale.
I'd simply like to start out by pointing out we're all going to be right as well as wrong here over the next 3 weeks at some point in time here. So for everybody who's listening, certainly be very careful with getting too caught up in the flow of things here. You know, like the comments here before just noted, and I fully agree with them. Work on, have some orders in place, get some sales done. I would really prefer something with no marginal positions, at least for ourselves, whether that's directly with options or selling cash and, for instance, buying a call or something like that here. I think that might be a good approach as well. So look for a minor rally here into next week, and beyond that point, I'd certainly like to have stuff locked up.
You've been listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. There you can listen to the entirety of our program. Our panelists today have included Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Chip Dellinger from Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting from Atchison, Kansas, and special guest Rich Nelson from Allendale in McHenry, Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.